the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. It's a Monday. It's a brand new week. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler. Coming to you live at 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 Pacific, our new time, starting the second week. So still working out a few of the bugs. Hopefully, I know last week we had a little bit of an issue with audio levels. Hopefully, all is well today. I depend on our friends in the various chat rooms to let me know. I'm looking, and it looks like our levels are good. But I'll look to you guys for guidance. My producers from afar. So here we are, new week, and you know I started a few weeks ago our new Monday music sessions. So basically, what happens is there's an old adage that goes, "Music hath charms to soothe the savage breast." I used to think it was savage beast, but I was corrected. No, it is the savage breast. And I'm not exactly sure what constitutes a savage breast, but well, in case there were any, music can soothe them, I guess. All I know is music helps me when I'm feeling down, which is fairly often, especially these days, when I'm, having troubles, music is what pulls me out of it. So I decided that, some 15 years after I stopped doing music radio, that it was time to bring a little music back into it. So as you know, we've had a number of these Music Monday sessions. We started about a month ago with Michael McDermott. We followed up with Dan Navarro, Sarah Hickman, Lily Hayden, and today I'm so excited that Jonathan Brook will be joining us. And if you don't know Jonathan Brook, I'm so excited to introduce you to her. I've known of Jonathan Brook's music really since this very cool radio station that I worked at in Los Angeles went on the air back in 1994. And at the time, Jonathan was in a band called The Story. And they had a song that quickly became one of my favorites. It was called So Much Mine. I'm holding up the CD of The Story, The Angel in the House. And it's just so good. Through the years, I've followed her music, and she's just brilliant. She left her partner, Jennifer Kimball, and went out on her own as a solo artist. And over the years, we did events together and stuff. But it had been a while because, you know, I've been sort of out of the music world for some years now. And when I decided to start doing these Music Monday sessions, Jonathan Brook was one of the first people I thought of. So I'm thrilled that she'll be joining us today. She'll join us at about the bottom of the hour, at about 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. I'm excited for the people who know her, who can see her, and those of you who've not heard of her before, you can thank me later. All right, but as we do, there's so much going on in the world, so I like to spend the first portion of the program getting to it. And today we actually have some good news to share. We do. But I'll get to the news in a moment. The other thing I like to do is start off the program with something humorous, something a little bit of, you know, to make us laugh, because things tend to get so serious throughout the course of the program. What I've been doing is playing these song parodies that I found online, that people are being so creative during the pandemic. Last week, the funny songs got a little bit serious because we were dealing, where's Nicole? Why is Gary Ballard asking where I am? We're here. Someone let Gary know. Everything should be working, right? Isn't it? I feel like I need to go check in elsewhere. Are we not going? Waiting for Nicole Sandler. Did I not start? Hold on a second. Maybe I didn't start the YouTube yet. You know, boy, you just can't take me anywhere. Go live. It didn't go live yet. We're waiting for the YouTube to start. Okay, here we go. Here comes YouTube. Sorry, YouTube. I don't know what happened. We were, okay. YouTube got started a little late today. Sometimes the streaming. Yeah, we're here. So hopefully you guys can see us. I don't know what happened with the YouTube feed, but you know what? I'm going to kill one of the other feeds so that if that's eating bandwidth. Okay. Anyway, back to what I was saying. I like to try to start the show with something fun and funny. So we're here. Hi, YouTube. Sorry about that. Some things I have no control over, but we're here, and that's a good thing. So, wow. I'm not going to repeat everything I said because we're live on the Progressive Voices Network and on Facebook Live and other places, but suffice it to say, YouTube, welcome. Sorry we're late. Technology. Can't live with it. Can't live without it, you know? But what I started to tell you is Jonatha Brooke is our musical guest today. And if you don't know Jonatha, I'm excited to introduce you to her. If you already know Jonatha, then you're in for a treat. All right, we've got some news to get to in just a moment. Good news to start it off, which is a rarity these days. But before we get to the news, good, bad, or indifferent, I've got a funny to play for you. No, Errol Thomas, I am not on Free Speech TV, and that's why I can say fuck anytime I want to. All right, so the incidences of COVID-19 are exploding. And no, it is not a second wave because it's still the first wave. And some of us are diligent. Some of us are staying at home and being safe, and others are not. And it's those, look, Memorial Day happened and now it's 2 weeks later and all of a sudden new instances, diagnoses of the coronavirus are exploding everywhere in the South, in the West, here in Florida. The last 2 days have both been record high numbers of new infections. So this is a musical reminder of our need to social distance. It's not over yet. I see people walking around without masks. Look, I've still not left the house since March 22nd, except to walk my dog and go to the doctor. And when I do leave the house, I wear a mask. It doesn't protect me, but if I happen to be sick, it would protect everyone else. It's about responsibility and it's about courtesy for other people, for God's sake. Anyway, so we will begin the show before we get to the news and Jonatha Brooke with a bit of a funny and silly me. I forgot to write down the name of the artist here, but well, I'll get it for you. I promise. And I will post it on the blog at NicoleSandler.com. All right. You ready? It's a parody of a band that I love. The band is Cake. The song The Distance was a hit back in the 90s. Hopefully you remember it. Anyway, with no further ado, a little funny for today with a public service announcement attached to it. Take it away, video purveyors. Here we go.
Reluctantly parked in the pickup line, hoping they restock the ramen this time. The cell phone buzzes, he can go pick up. Looking like a bum, he needs a haircut. With more COVID cases, we moved up in rank. But feels so cheap, $15 on my tank. Reckless and wild, keep touching their face. Not enough Lysol to sanitize this place. As they spread all the sickness, we go into lockdown. Travel plans screwed up, I can't go out of town. Kids say they're done, except for one plan. But school just shows they handed nothing in. Morale has gone down, my Zoom meeting's gonna start. We're all in this together, everybody do their part. Kids are hungry and lazy and being so bored. I'm thinking they could do at least one frickin' chore. Keeping social distance, he's going 6 feet. She's all alone in a line in front of me. While he's sewing and sewing and wearing his mask, he's working remotely and staying on task. Keeping social distance. No spring sport, no teepee, more wine. Goes to Target in the morning, open, there's no line. Found out it's open to seniors at first. They bought all the cleaners, nothing could be worse. He reads the news from his Facebook page. Sees essential workers getting minimum wage. Gets in an argument on someone's post with a Karen who swears this whole thing's a hoax. Morale has gone down, my Zoom meeting's gonna start. We're all in this together, everybody do their part. Kids are hungry and lazy and being so bored. I'm thinking they could do at least one frickin' chore. Keeping social distance. He's going 6 feet. She's all alone in a line in front of me. While he's sewing and wearing his mask, he's working remotely and staying on task. Keeping social distance, COVID-19. 6 feet of distance, COVID-19. Keeping social distance.
Oh, Microwave Productions is the name of the production people who made that lovely video. Keeping social distance. I will get the name of the wonderful artist who produced this video along with his family and posted it, because that was really, really good. By the way, in case you don't know, Cake is the artist who originally did the song The Distance. Big hit in the 90s. All right. Let's get to the news, because I want to get through this and then get to the fun part of the program, which is Jonathan Brooks. So, with no further ado, hit it.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Is Bill O'Reilly hanging around here telling us to do it live?
We'll do it live.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Bill.
Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Fucking thing sucks.
Enough. God, I'm doing it live. All right, so I could have started the show with a different funny much quicker, because Donald Trump today spoke to the press. There was a pool report. I think it was a cabinet meeting, or I don't know. I try not to pay too close of attention to what he says. But regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, here's a direct quote from the occupant of the Oval Office, the resident, as it were. He said, quote, "If we stopped testing right now, we'd have few cases, if any." You gotta laugh. Because the alternative is to say, what a fucking moron. Oh, my God. All right. My volume is too high again, you're telling me. Thank you. I do depend on you guys to give me the technical support here. All right. So, it's a new audio system and a new thing, and hopefully that fixed the level. Somebody let me know if I screwed up the levels, if they're any better. I will keep monitoring what you have to say. My volume hopefully is better now. All right, so let me give you the news. It is June, and the time of the year when the Supreme Court announces the decisions that they've yet to release thus far. So I'm still quite hot, huh? Yeah, it sucks. All right. I'm trying to get the levels right so that by the time Jonathan comes in, we're all good. All right. So today the Supreme Court announced that they'd be announcing opinions today and Thursday. So today we got a few tidbits. The first decision, let me give you the good news first, because I can keep stretching this out forever. The first decision announced is a historic win, I think, for all of us, but really for gay and lesbian workplace rights. The Supreme Court ruled by a 6-3 decision that discrimination based on sexual orientation is illegal under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Now, to be 6-3, this is huge, because it's the usual ones you would expect as part of the six: Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan, right? The liberal wing of the high court. But the decision was written, the opinion was written by, I need a drum roll, hold on. Neil Gorsuch. Neil Gorsuch wrote the opinion, which is just stunning to me. And Chief Justice Roberts joined in on it and basically said, you cannot fire somebody due to their sexual identity or their sexual preference. This is huge. And people on the right are pissed off. They are angry at Gorsuch. And we're saying, way to go, Gorsuch. This is very good news. They also announced another case about like pipeline access that I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know all the particulars on it. And it's sort of I am not even going to go there today because I don't know what to make of it. The other big news, though, out of the Supreme Court are the cases that the court declined to hear. They declined to hear any cases having to do with qualified immunity. And this is the letdown. Qualified immunity is the legal principle that shields law enforcement from liability in court. That's why so many cops who've abused people, who've killed people, get off because they have this qualified immunity. The court decided not to hear the case, and they needed a minimum of four justices to agree to hear the case in order for them to take it up. So obviously, four of the nine did not say they wanted to hear it. Justice Thomas, of all people, wrote a dissent saying that the court should take up the issue. So there's that. The Supreme Court also declined to hear something like 10 cases having to do with the Second Amendment, most notably the right to carry a firearm in public. They're like, nope, we're not hearing it. We're not ruling on it. We're not doing anything. And they denied a request by the Trump administration to review California's so-called sanctuary laws, which limit cooperation between state and local law enforcement and federal immigration authorities. So that was the big news. Let me read to you a little sliver from Gorsuch's opinion. He wrote, an employer who fires an individual for being homosexual or transgender fires that person for traits or actions it would not have questioned in members of a different sex. Sex plays a necessary and undistinguishable role in the decision, exactly what Title VII forbids. Who knew? Neil Gorsuch did the right thing. I guess hell can freeze over more than once. I don't know. Alito and Thomas and Scalia are apoplectic. They are pissed off. And by the way, there were three opinions written. The Gorsuch majority saying, sorry, you know, here in Florida, up until today, you could get married on Sunday, get gay married on Sunday legally, go to work on Monday and put a picture of you and your same-sex spouse on your desk and get fired for that because in Florida, they were able to fire you for simply being gay or for being transgender. With this Supreme Court ruling today, they can no longer do that. Yes, it is a big deal, and there's good news today, and I'll take it when we can get it because we have had a dearth of good news lately, so I will celebrate that one. In other news, let's rush through it so we can get Jonathan Brooke on the line. What I was telling you is the three opinions. Gorsuch wrote the majority opinion, and there were dissents by Alito and Kavanaugh that run 172 pages. They are so angry. Isn't that a shame? Oh, isn't that just too bad? Okay, now on to other news. In the wake of the outrage over Trump's decision to hold a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the site of one of the worst episodes of racist violence in America, on Juneteenth, no less, Donald Trump actually reversed himself and announced that he would postpone the event a whole day. So now it's going to happen on Saturday the 20th. Seriously? I think it's a Saturday. Hold on. Let me make sure. I hate getting things wrong. Yes, Saturday the 20th instead of Friday, June 19th. But Bruce Dart, he's Tulsa's top public health official. He's publicly asking Trump not to come, citing the pandemic. And this morning, the editorial board of the newspaper Tulsa World proclaimed, quote, "This is the wrong time and Tulsa is the wrong place for a Donald Trump rally." Now, you know, that in case you hadn't seen the 60 Minutes episode from last night, there was just an unbelievable segment. I'll post the entire segment on the blog at NicoleSandler.com after the show. But talking about this Tulsa uprising, and because I looked at my husband and I said, I'm an idiot. Why don't I know this story? It was 99 years ago. It was like May 31st, June 1st, in I think it was 2021. And then after watching the 60 Minutes piece, I didn't feel quite so stupid, because listen to this piece of audio from this man who grew up in Tulsa and also had no clue that this ever happened.
The death of a black man at the hands of police is today shouted into the national memory.
Thanks to all of you for being here.
But in 1921, it remained possible to erase a genocide.
I grew up attending segregated Tulsa public schools. Never in any of the schools was anything ever said about it.
The congregation of Vernon AME Church is two generations beyond 1921, but they too were victimized.
This was not taught in the public school.
No.
You never heard about this in class.
You never heard a word about it.
Never heard a word about it.
When I went to OU in 1998, I was sitting in a class on African American history. And the professor was talking about this place where black people had businesses and had money and had doctors and lawyers. And he said it was in Tulsa. And I raised my hand and said, no, I'm from Tulsa. That's not accurate.
Wow.
And he was talking about this massacre, riot. I said, man, what are you talking about? I said, I went to school on Greenwood. I've never heard of this ever.
Wow. That's incredible that somebody who lived there, who grew up there, lived there his entire life, never heard about the Greenwood Massacre. Well, now this needs to be taught everywhere. Thank you, Donald Trump, for enlightening us. But meanwhile, he's going to have this damn rally, and the numbers don't lie. More than 2 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 have been reported in the U.S., and more than 115,000 Americans have already died from the disease. There's somewhere in the neighborhood of 800 to 1,000 Americans dying still every single day. 22 states have seen major increases in the number of cases reported. 9 states continue to report record numbers of new infections over this weekend, including Florida, where I live. Yesterday reported its second straight day with more than 2,000 new cases. Saturday's total of 2,581 was a record for the state, where the outbreak is intensifying, but authorities are opening more beaches. And the same holds true in Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, California, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and South Carolina. They've all reported daily infections hitting new highs in recent days. And people are acting like it's over? It ain't over. All right. I was high on the good news for a few minutes, and now I'm going to bring you down again. Another day, another unarmed black man shot and killed by police. And yes, I'll say he was unarmed, even though he had the taser belonging to one of the cops. This time it was in Atlanta, you know this already, where police were called because a man was asleep in his car blocking the drive-thru at a Wendy's restaurant. Atlanta police video released on Sunday, yesterday, showing a seemingly routine sobriety check that spun out of control, ending in gunfire and the killing of 27-year-old Rayshard Brooks by two white police officers. Unbelievable. Within 48 hours of the incident, the Atlanta officer who shot Brooks was terminated. The city's chief of police stepped down, and the Wendy's where the incident took place burned to the ground. Videos from the police, the restaurant, and witnesses are being used to piece together the last minute of Brooks' life. But the Fulton County, Georgia Medical Examiner's Office reported last night that an autopsy showed that Rayshard Brooks died of two gunshot wounds to the back in what they are calling a homicide. Now, the video, body cam video, shows that he did grab the taser of one of the officers as they tried to arrest him. But then he started running away, and they shot him in the back as he was running away. The district attorney criticized the officers who shot, saying Brooks did not seem to present any kind of threat to anyone. And that's the bottom line. They need to stop with this use of deadly force. Deadly force is supposed to only be used when a police officer feels like his life is in danger. And it wasn't. All right. There's one last thing that the Trump administration did on Friday that really pisses me off, and that's the Department of Health and Human Services announced the end of a rule that guaranteed health care protections for transgender people. The rule was established along with the Affordable Care Act some 10, 12 years ago, and it prevented health care providers from denying transgender patients health care by banning discrimination on the basis of gender identity. What I'm wondering, and I have not been able to get an answer to it yet, and I've asked a few people, I'll keep trying, is whether or not today's Supreme Court ruling has any bearing over this, or if that just deals with employment law. I don't know. If you know the answer, please do tell me. Okay. All right. We're going to end the news here because we've got Jonathan Brook coming up. And I'm going to play something for her before I bring Jonathan in. And I know she's standing by and I hope she can see what's going on. Because just so you can to introduce you to her, I'm going to play a very, very short piece of video from just about 20 years ago. I told you that I've known Jonathan for that many years, and we, you know, this program, this segment has a name. It's the Monday Music Sunset Sessions, because I'm teaming up with another old friend of mine, a music promoter, named Michelle Clark, who put on these events called Sunset Sessions for 15 years, where she would fly, adventurous radio people and tastemakers, people who place music in film and TV shows and commercials, to some exotic location, and she'd bring in some wonderful bands, some established artists and a lot of new artists to introduce us to. And in 2001, we were in Cancun, and I'm just going to play you like a 2-minute clip of me sitting with Jonathan Brook, overlooking the ocean, talking just for a moment. Just to give you, so you'll see how gracefully we've both aged. So here, take it away. Much younger, Nicole Sandler and Jonathan Brook. There we are.
Ouch. It's moving. We're sitting at the beach.
I think he's up. It's very rude.
You can.
Hello.
This is Jonathan Brook with me in Cancun. You know, the room they have set up to do these interviews, it's a room inside. It's like a little conference room. So this is a much better setting.
Way more scenic. Can you see the water? Gorgeous. Like they painted it. It's
the color of the water is magnificent. I was in a place called Turquoise a couple years ago. Turks and Caicos. But I think the water is just as turquoise here.
I've never seen anything like it.
It is gorgeous. And the view from the stage is you look right out on the water.
It's the best.
Now in the audience, we're looking at you guys.
You just have to watch us.
Yeah.
Right. But we get the wind down our throats and flies and sand.
See, it should have been set up the other way, so you didn't have the wind going in.
Then we would have had the bounce back.
Oh,
off the
right,
top,
which you
really
can't
sucked.
Do. Yeah. Anyway, we're here. It's a radio thing. A lot of radio people are flown in to hear you and a bunch of other bands perform. It's a tough job.
It's a drink.
You know, somebody's got to do it.
Right.
I keep looking away because my daughter is wandering off.
Yes, Allison was a baby.
Usually
this is
the
informal.
Artist
we like webcasting.
Maybe Pat will take.
This is Allison.
Oh, my.
So we just did Studio C a little while ago, and that was awesome. And you're taking off on tour. By the time this airs, you may have already done this tour, but you're going to be playing all around the country. We're going to do something where we can give away tickets to shows.
I think that's awesome. Yes, we're going to do, ticket giveaways, and yes, you'll know whatever city.
So tonight, it's kind of an odd...
All right, I'm going to cut that off now. So there was a little bit. You saw my daughter who was... I had just adopted her from Kazakhstan. This was in 2001, in February of 2001. Fast forward, it is now June of 2020. And we'll wait no further. Let's kick off today's Monday Music Sunset Session.
We could all use some healing these days, so we turn to the power of music. Each Monday, we welcome another artist to share some songs and stories as the Nicole Sandler Show presents the Monday Music Sunset Sessions.
And today we welcome Jonathan Brook to the show. Jonathan, I see you, and you're in your kitchen where you've been doing these COVID kitchen concerts since the quarantining began. First, hello and thank you. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
I hear you. There you are. What a treat.
Wait,
this
I can't
is.
See you.
No, I know. I'm sorry you can't see me because the camera is being used to go out to YouTube. So it's only a one-way thing.
Okay.
I did tell you that.
And I lied. I'm not in my kitchen. I came upstairs to my room because it's quieter. Someone started mowing their lawn.
Oh, I see. So. I see. You don't have all the blankets around to muffle the sound from your COVID
teddy bear,
kitchen
no
concerts.
Quilts.
No, and the teddy bear with Black Lives Matter face mask on and everything. But people can see your kitchen if they go to your Facebook Live page, and you do this every Monday. You've been doing it for, 12 weeks now?
Yeah. Yeah. It's flown by. I guess that's about 3 months. I mean, I've been quarantined for about 3 months, so I might as well do a concert every week. And it's become my world tour, because there are people tuning in from all over the world, and it's kind of exciting to see who's calling from where.
It is amazing. And problems such as the coronavirus make people get very creative in ways to socialize, in ways to entertain, in ways to make money. You know, I've been doing my show from my home studio for a decade or more now, so it really wasn't that much of a change for me. But I'm loving seeing artists like you just do these concerts online, and this is right now replacing touring for you, because that's basically your bread and butter, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, in the course of a couple of weeks, our entire year was just decimated. Everything got canceled, so... The only thing we could do was okay, what do we do now? I love playing, so let's just do it from my kitchen. And then people would complain, the sound's not good enough yet. You need to do some sound baffling. And so each week it would get better and better. I get a better
the blankets
mic,
showed
the quilts up. I got the teddy bear. And then I got really used to it. I sort of started liking this sort of intimacy, basically with my toaster oven, but also reaching people that I hadn't seen in years, in Germany and Belgium and Australia. It's really been cool.
Yeah, it is so cool. And I'll tell you, when the quarantining first started, I happened upon a Facebook group called View From My Window, where people were posting pictures of the view that they see out their window, from all over the world. And I reached out to a number of them, and I brought them on the show. I spoke to people in Germany and Denmark and Australia, New Zealand, and I mean, you name it. It's been really wonderful just connecting with people all over the world, realizing we're all going through this together. This is the first time I know of that we've all experienced the same thing in a similar manner around the world.
Yeah. It really does give you a sense of community and, how the world is enormous, but it's so tiny too. And on the one hand, it makes it just this awesome little cozy place in your internet world. And on the other hand, it sort of makes you miss them even more and wait, can't wait to get back out there and actually tour in person.
Well, we can't wait to see you in person, but this is the next best thing. So Jonathan Brook is with us. You're now living in Minnesota. When did you move to Minnesota, and are you in Minneapolis?
We're in Minneapolis.
Oh boy. Wow.
Yep. We are about a mile and a half from, where George Floyd was killed.
Wow.
It's intense, but I think there's a lot of amazing conversations going on. There's a lot of good work being done. There are a lot of amazing people rising to this occasion and having conversations that are hard. And it's a really good city that I think has a lot of potential to be better, but I think there are a lot of people doing the hard work, which is awesome.
There most definitely are.
And everywhere. And I think it's inspired the world.
Yeah, Oh, it most definitely has. All you have to do is see people marching in countries you would never expect. I mean, France, and Italy, and Australia, and you name it. And it's about time. So, you know, good that, you know, I feel just horrible for George Floyd's little girl, but glad that she knows her daddy's changing the world. And he certainly is. Yeah. You know, you're going to play a couple of songs for us, or a few songs for us, I hope. I have here, you know, last week you did you're doing your kitchen COVID concerts every Monday, 2 p.m. Central Time, Minneapolis time. And last week you did your album Plum from start to finish, which is very cool. But you posted a picture of it and you're like, this is not even the correct album cover. You said it was like a mistake. The wrong one was set. And so I went looking through my CD collection, which I'm now starting to purge. And I found I also have the wrong CD cover. But
amazing.
Yeah. But I've got a bunch of Jonathan Brooks CDs here. And what I'm going to do, because I've digitized everything and I'm cleaning everything out, the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people who email me, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com, with your address telling me you want one of Jonathan's CDs, I will send them to you as a little prize from today's show.
That's nice.
Yeah. So, Jonathan, what are you going to do for us? I know I have one request for you, but the others I'll leave
out. Yes, by request, I was going to do one of my older songs, but it's probably the most beloved, especially from 20 whatever years ago, you know, when we were 12.
Yes,
like,
back when we were in that video.
Was it Cancun or Turks and Caicos?
That was Cancun, yeah. Oh my.
I love how on the video it says, like, by the time this thing airs, and I'm like, we might be in our 50s.
60. I'm 60
no
now.
No way.
Yes.
Quit it.
I turned 60 in November, so I'm officially old. But, you know, hey, music keeps you young.
Yeah.
I don't care. Whatever.
I think it's getting better. I think it's just getting better.
Yeah. So this is the song you're going to start with. I got to tell you, when we first met, this song always made me cry. And I've always said that a sign of a truly great song is when it can elicit a physical reaction from you, whether it be goosebumps or tears. When a song can do that to you, and a song continues to do that after 20 some odd years. And you played it for me. We were in the FM 101.9 Music Hall at KSCA in Los Angeles, and you played the song, and I think I started crying. And you said, why does that
yes,
and it was before I had a kid. And I said, because I could just feel it. And I'm telling you, this song called So Much Mine is it's a mother singing to her daughter. And then you met Allison. It was just a couple of months after I adopted her. We were in Cancun together. And she just turned 21 last month. And
oh, my God.
Yes. Do you believe it? Little Allison is now 21. And this song still, thankfully, she didn't get the worst of me. But there are still so many things that I see in her. And all I think is, she's so much mine. She is so much mine. And your song has stayed with me through all these years. It is one of my all-time favorite songs. So thank you for doing this for us.
My pleasure. Here we go. It is a mother-daughter lament, really. Here we go. So
Wow, Jonathan Brook, So Much Mine, a song found on the album The Angel in the House, but the artist is The Story. That was the band that Jonathan was in when I first heard of her, Jonathan Brook and Jennifer Kimball, and then you guys, not too long after that, split up, you went solo, and your next album was Jonathan Brook and The Story, right?
Yeah, it was Plum.
That was Plum. Wow. So we plumbed the depth there, going way back, and then it
plumbing
just
the depth.
Yes, and then became Jonathan Brook, and you've been going strong ever since. So you were living in New York, weren't you? And then you moved to Minneapolis.
Yeah, we moved to Minneapolis about 3 years ago, in the winter.
Oh!
not something I would recommend, because the summer and the spring and the summer and fall are actually gorgeous, gorgeous, amazing. The winters are, you know, they're intense, but I'm from Boston, so I wasn't too afraid. You know, it's pretty cold there too, and I do love the snow. So, you know, it's beautiful. It's just you gotta plan ahead. You know, if you leave the house when it's 12 below, you gotta really plan ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, we're in Florida, so we don't even go there now.
Oh my God!
Now you've got a new album coming out July 10th. It's called The Sweetwater Sessions. Where's Sweetwater?
Sweetwater is this amazing recording studio that is connected to the Sweetwater, I guess it's like basically the Amazon of the music business. Sweetwater is a mail-away musical supply warehouse, basically.
Oh, so okay, I do know
anything.
Of Sweetwater, right?
Yeah, and they have a beautiful world-class studio that's connected to their other business. So they've sort of been feeding both things at once, and so it's become a destination for musicians to go there and make records and or go to recording workshops, which is I've been partnering on some of those recording workshops, and that's how this whole record got started. Was I was part of teaching a recording workshop, and we just decided, well, why don't we just stay a couple extra days and we'll make a record, because we got these musicians in this studio and like all this stuff on the shelves. Like if we want a bass ukulele, we can just sort of call it in from the store, so we could try whatever we wanted. And so that's what we did. We ended up tracking 11 songs, sort of tracking them at the tail end of this recording workshop, and it turned into this great romp through my catalog. It's 11 songs, basically favorites of mine that didn't necessarily get a lot of attention at the time that they came out. So it's sort of, I chose a song from each record.
Oh, how nice. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So that's out July 10th, I'm guessing, from all the usual places. So you can get the record without ever leaving your home.
You can. You can stream it. There are two singles, actually, that are already streaming on all of the whatever those places are. Spotify, Hookie Lookie, Pandora,
right?
Shabang-a-Lang.
Apple Music, sorry.
It's streaming the first two songs, and then the rest is coming out July 10th. Or you can pre-order it on my website, and I will sign it for you.
Nice. And the website, of course, is jonathabrook.com. And yes, it's like Jonathan without the N at the end. Were your parents expecting a boy?
No, that's the weird part. I have two older brothers, so I hope they were hoping for a girl, because I think two boys is probably plenty.
Yeah.
And I came along and I don't know. They saddled me. I used to hate my name because I'd have to explain it to everybody, but now I really do appreciate it.
Cool, and it's unique to you. So it's Jonathan, like Jonathan without the N, and Brook with an E on the end. JonathanBrook.com. Mm-hmm. And in addition, I'm so impressed with what you're doing. I mean, again, we all have to get creative these days to figure out how to get things done. And you are an amazing songwriter. You've done something. You've started a series called The Masterclasses. What is this? What are you doing?
What am I doing? Like, well, I have begun teaching in the past bunch of years, and I love it. It's turned into a real passion of mine. So I've done these songwriting workshops. A lot of them happen in Nashville, and because I can't be doing this in person right now, I just did a bunch in Denmark actually when I was on tour there last fall. So I figured, all right, well, this may or may not happen. I had some scheduled in the fall, and we're hoping that we can make those things happen. But in the meantime, maybe this is another silver lining of this COVID hell. And I can do some teaching online to people that maybe would never make it to Nashville. I mean, the one woman came from the Philippines to one of my Zoom classes, and another woman in Australia. It was 3 a.m. for her. Poor thing. She had to stay awake, but it was awesome. And then there was a woman in Germany last weekend, and it's been really, really exciting to be able to reach that much further afield and sort of give all this stuff that I love telling people about songwriting.
Nice. Well, that's great. Now, I noticed it said sold out. So are there going to be more of these?
Well, that's something I was sort of talking in my kitchen COVID concert today. Uh-huh. I was saying, like, yeah, they're pretty much all sold out. So let me know if this has been a good thing for you, and maybe we could do some more. So I think depending on, and actually from the news that you were talking about earlier, where like COVID cases are just ballooning and out of control because of, like, we haven't been social distancing and all these states are opening up. So I have a feeling that I'm going to have to open up some more master classes, because I think we're not going to be going anywhere anytime soon.
Right. I think so. Jonathan Brooke is with us. You can do another song?
Okay.
Okay. So what are you going to do next? You want to do one of the new ones?
Put the Gun Down.
Oh. I heard you play that today. I was listening to some of your songs in preparation for you coming. And what is this from, an album of yours? Where is this from?
This is from an album 2 albums ago called Midnight Hallelujah.
Okay.
That I also actually made at the Sweetwater Studios. We have a history. We go way back.
Cool. So Put the Gun Down, obviously, it's, you know, topical
obviously
today.
The title. It's pretty clear what's it about.
Absolutely.
Here we go. It's sticky up here in the attic today. Whew. Put the gun down and come talk to me. You got a lot of nerve. You're bitching about your freedom. You say you had it rough. Thank you.
Yeah. Jonathan Brook. Put the gun down here on the Nicole Sandler Show. Monday Music. Yes. Well, how do you get your inspiration? Do you ever write songs based on what's happening around us, the news, or are they more personal, you know, so much mind stories about life, about your family, about your everyday experience rather than social issues?
It's a little of both, but I think when it's a social issue, like for instance, guns, I'm more comfortable telling a smaller story that will like poke at the issue, but not be, try to be a soapbox or an anthem. So in the case of that song, it was like, it's just a conversation between me and a person with a gun. And it's so interesting. You were saying earlier that the Supreme Court declined to hear all of the Second Amendment cases.
Yeah. Interesting.
So interesting.
Huh?
But political, yes, once in a while. I wrote a song called War, which is actually on the Plum record. That was definitely a reaction and a more anthemic kind of statement about the Gulf War, the first Gulf War.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, obviously it's really appropriate now, but I mean, because I'm talking about the flag and patriotism, and we hold these truths to be self-evident, and we're the boss, and we're the United States. You have to do what we'll say,
right?
So that song is holding its weight actually after 20 years. For the most part, I like to just tell smaller stories, mm-hmm. and they aren't necessarily about me. Or if they are about me, I totally embellish because I think lying is way sometimes more interesting than the truth.
So, well, I tell
all my songwriting students, like, don't tell the truth. It's not three chords in the truth. It's lots more chords and totally make shit up.
Right. It's storytelling. It is. It's about telling the stories and doing it with a beautiful melody and weaving us in and out. And you do it. You do it beautifully. Now, I got to ask you. So, Jonathan Brook, I'm watching today's COVID Kitchen concert. Again, 2 Central Time on Mondays on Jonathan's Facebook Live. And you were talking about your show. My Mother Has 4 Noses. Tell us. What? Tell me about this. It's an off-Broadway show?
Yes. Briefly, I made an off-Broadway show. I made a one-woman musical about my last 2 years caring for my mother. My mom was a character. It was a story that you wouldn't believe unless I told it, and it felt urgent and important at the time, and it still does because there are so many things that people are afraid to talk about. My mother had dementia. Caregiving is hell. Helping somebody move on to their next phase, you know, through their late stages and then death. It's a big task and it's sacred work. So I ended up writing this musical about it. And so I weave the story of me and my mother through 10 songs, and I premiered it off Broadway in 2014 and got amazing, amazing reviews. So I've since been able to do it in many cities around the country, Cleveland and Minneapolis. I did a month run last year in Minneapolis, Arkansas, Philadelphia, at People's Light. So it's really touched a nerve, and it's a sort of universal story of unconditional love and caregiving and the humor and the pathos and the tragedy that all combined together in that swirl of love, of caring for someone that you love.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Is there an album of this? Have you recorded it?
There is an album of the 10 songs that are part of the show. It's a beautiful record. It's a Jonathan record, but it happens to be the songs that are in the show because we didn't do like a cast album, you know, with the dialogue
right.
and the songs.
Gotcha.
The songs.
Right.
But I'm trying to figure out a way to produce that in this new normal.
Right.
How do I present that show from my kitchen, maybe? So I'm toying with ways of presenting that because I feel like it's such a pressing conversation. Especially now, like so many people in long-term facilities and elder care facilities are at the front lines of this epidemic. And
what's happening now is just horrific.
Yeah.
It is so sad because, you know, people may place their parents in a care facility thinking, all right, they're going to get the care they need here. But now with the COVID, you can't even visit your elderly parents. I mean, and many of them are getting sick and dying alone. And dying has got to be scary enough, but to do it alone without your family around you, what are seniors are going through right now is just horrible. And the fact that
and then you add dementia to the mix.
Oh God.
And that terror and confusion of like not understanding what's happening, of not understanding who these people are, why you're alone, why you can't go home. It's just, my heart just crumbles daily when I see these stories.
I can't even imagine.
Seems apropos.
Yes, definitely. Well, that's something on a lot of our minds. I mean, I lost my parents years ago. So, you know, I guess that's the silver lining is I don't have to worry about them now. I can't even imagine what people are going through whose parents they cannot get to. It's the other end of the so much mind story. It's like you want to be there. So, Jonathan Brooke, we're getting close to the end of the hour. I'm going to ask you to do one more song, but I'm going to let our friends at Progressive Voices know that Jonathan will play us out. Just a quick promo for next Monday. You're familiar with The Immediate Family? The immediate family is Russ Kunkel, Waddy Wachtel, Leland Sklar, Danny Korchmar, and Steve Postel. These are like legendary sidemen who've worked with everybody from Carole King to James Taylor to Warren Zevon and on and on and on. And now they're together. They finally are doing their own thing, and their new album is just about to premiere, and they're going to join us next Monday for the Monday Music Show. So, I'm excited about that one too. So just wanted to let people know. So what are you going to play us out with, Jonathan Brooke?
Well, I'm going to play a song called Twilight because I love it.
Okay, that's a good reason.
And it's kind of about making your peace with things before it's too late and telling people that you love them and apologizing before it's too late.
That works for right now, too.
Yeah, and stop me if I go over, okay?
Oh, no, you can go over. We can, but just, you know, we'll get cut off on Progressive Voices, so we'll say goodbye to the Progressive Voices Network now, but we can keep going because
we
can do that.
Great, so I won't try to truncate
keep going.
Great.
No.
Okay, all right. Here we go.
Jonathan Brooke.
Tell me something sweet that I remember. Look me in the eye when twilight comes. Hold me. September loving as my light fades into December. We can pick a sign, a secret signal, simple by design, so we'll both know. Maybe a shooting star off Jupiter, her pennies in the wishing well, or a puppet in the rain. I love you, not perfectly, not well, but I love you, and I'm leaving soon, so fare thee well. I love you, so let that be the story that you tell. Maybe now's the time to ask forgiveness. I will beg for yours, and I'll leave you mine. Weaving a tapestry of things unspoken, we'll lay it down at the feet of all the promises we've broken. Yeah, take from me my best, how I adore you, and leave behind the liar and the cheat, and promise the kindness is the legacy you'll carry like a hand-me-down until we meet again. I love you, not perfectly, not well, but I love say, but love keeps humming today, today, today. I love.
something sweet that I'll remember. Look me in the eye when twilight comes.
That was beautiful. Jonathan Brook.
I'm having puberty in my voice all over again.
Well, you know, this is your second show of the day. So, you know, the late show. I appreciate it.
It's the late show.
It's the sunsets. And here, well, I'd say it's sunset, but it's raining again as usual in Florida. So not much sun here.
It's gorgeous here, I have to say.
And you can't really get out and enjoy it, can you?
Well, we can. There's we live about a 10-minute walk from a beautiful lake, Lake Harriet. So we can walk around Lake Harriet and be socially distant. We wear our masks and we stay away from sweaty, spitty people.
Glad to hear it, as you should. We all need to. We're going to have plenty of time to go back out again. Look, I wanted to go to the beach this weekend. And there are beaches around here that are quiet. But you know what?
Yeah.
We'll wait. Better to be safe.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing. I mean, yes, okay, we have to get back to real life, but, you know, at what cost?
Right. That's it. And it's you got to stay safe. That's the thing. I mean, I don't understand people going out and partying. And we knew it. We're seeing these numbers spike 2 weeks after Memorial Day. And, you know, they say the incubation period is about 14 days. And sure enough, that's what's happening. All right. Well, we are just about out of time. Jonathan Brook, what a treat this has been for me. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, my pleasure. Really can't thank you enough. So great to see you again.
And you as well. Thank you. The new album, again, will be out on July 10th. It is called The Sweetwater Sessions. It's available now for pre-order wherever you get those records these days.
Stuff.
Anywhere you get them, it's there. And we will keep an eye out for My Mother Has Four Noses off Broadway, wherever we may be. Jonathan Brook, what a treat this has been. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nicole.
Take care. Great to see you again. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
All right. Tomorrow on the program, it is Tuesday. Got a Laugh will be here. We'll get back to news and, you know, all the depressing stuff of the day. Thank you for listening, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.